Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench. Let's take a look at what happened. I told you the Giants are up on the Dodgers in the fourth, 1-0. Amazing how the Dodgers are coming off a sweep of the Braves. You'd never know it the way they look right now. I know they're only down 1-0 in the fourth, but they don't look like they're, you know, not in the game. They do look like, hey, we're the world champs. We're not afraid of you. We'll come into your stadium and beat you. They do have that look still, but they're not actually yet in this game playing like it in any capacity whatsoever. So still, and Dee Sclavani still pitching for the Giants looks good. Price was a scratch before this game, by the way, for the Dodgers. The Tigers are beating the hell out of the Reds 15-5, so they're going to beat them, and that's a problem for the Reds. We'll tell you about the wild card standings when all these games are complete. Royals lead the White Sox 2-0 in Kansas City, bottom three. Cardinals are pummeling the Brewers 10-2 in the ninth in Milwaukee. Rockies up on the Braves 4-3, bottom eight in Coors. Angels and Rangers 2-2 in the fourth, top of the fourth. Mariners lead the D-backs 3-1, bottom five. Padres lead the Astros 1-0, bottom three in Petco, San Diego. Cubs beat the Pirates today 6-5. Yankees 4-3 over the Orioles. Red Sox 8-5 over the Indians. Mets 6-2 over the Nationals. Jays 11-10 over the A's. Rays 5-3 over the Twins. I hit every one of those games except the Marlins beat the Phillies 10-3. I got that wrong. So the Phillies' six-game winning streak came to an end. Now, these other games are not finals yet, so nothing is determined. But the Yankees have a one-and-a-half-game lead for the top spot. Boston's behind them. Then Oakland's three behind Boston. Seattle's 4.5 back. Toronto, 5 back. San Francisco and the Dodgers are tied for the National League wild card top spot, and then the Reds are 13.5 back, but San Diego's a half game behind Cincinnati. So if the Reds lose, which they are, and the Padres win, then the Padres will move back into the lead for the second wild card. And the Cardinals are 2.5 behind. Phillies 2.5 behind. Mets 4.5 behind. So that's your wild card update. Seager just got a hit to left, but nothing really going on. One out and a runner on first in the fourth for the Dodgers. I have to tell you, I'm just being honest. This game seems to be, for me anyway, more exciting than the Michigan State Northwestern game, which the last time I checked, it was 21-7 Michigan State at the half. Northwestern scored, with like a minute left in the half, they finally got on the board. And, you know, I'm sure they probably haven't even started the second half yet. They haven't. So 21-7, they're about to start it. Kansas leads South Dakota 10-7 with 6.5 minutes left basically in the game. Colorado's up 14-0 on Northern Colorado in the third. I can't believe they're not beating them by more than that. South Dakota State up 14-10 on Colorado State. A minute left in the half. South Dakota State up 4. They were getting 2.5. I took the 2.5. Virginia Tech upset North Carolina 17-10. They're partying in Blacksburg, Virginia tonight. Charlotte upset Duke. I had Charlotte with the points 31-28. Wake 42-10 over Old Dominion. I got to look at that number. I had 31.5. Oh, God, I lose by a hook, Mafia. Can you believe that? 31.5. They lose 42-41.5. What could be worse? Jesus, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to puke. Eastern Michigan, 35-15 final over St. Francis of Pennsylvania. So they didn't cover either. Eastern Michigan at 32.5. They gave up too many points to St. Francis. So later this hour, we have Aaron Torres from Fox and the Aaron Torres podcast to talk college football, see who he likes tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, with all these gigantic games in college football. Of course, tomorrow, it is just on all day. There's great games up and down. Everybody knows about Alabama and Miami, Georgia and Clemson Saturday night. That's going to be a good one. But there's tons of other games that are intriguing, LSU and UCLA, and it goes on and on. So we'll hit all of those games. Don't forget Sunday, Notre Dame and Florida State is at 7:30 at night, Sunday night, Monday, Labor Day night, 8 o'clock, Louisville and Ole Miss. So we're going to start breaking these games down, and then we'll talk to Aaron Torres later this hour on a bench.
We're no ordinary sports talk network. Not only do we have a roster of world-class experts, but they tell you gaming strategies to help you win. Any simpler, and we'd have to hold your hand.
And nobody wants that.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So, Mafia, you put up all the late games, but not just late starting games, the games that didn't have spreads, right? And these are the most brutal games that I highly recommend not going near, because it's like heavies, like, you know, D1 schools taking on FCS schools, right, for the most part.
Right. And it's like 30 points, you know, 35 and above club. You know, it's all these 40, 45, 50 point spreads. It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's torture. Are you going to lay 44 and a hook with BC against Colgate? You going to lay 43.5 with Nebraska against Colgate? Are you, like, if you had a gun to your head, what would you do?
I'd say wait, just like I did last night with Arizona State. It's just not worth the risk for me to have to lay that kind of wood. I'll find another game, or I'll just wait till next week. You know,
So Lafayette is playing Air Force. Air Force is laying 40.5. And meanwhile, Lafayette is just flat out awful. But I mean, who's scared of Air Force besides no one? I mean, honestly, Air Force is going to put more than 40 on Lafayette. I think Lafayette's awful, but honestly, I just don't think Air Force is that good. I really don't. I don't think they can score 40 points. I really don't. And I think Lafayette is just as bad as anybody on earth. But I have my, I seriously have my druthers. And then, Nebraska minus 43.5. So Nebraska, of course, laid an egg in week one at Illinois and got their ass beat. You would think that they would go home to Lincoln and that they would put a beating on Colgate or on whoever the hell you told me they're playing. Fordham against Fordham. BC's the one playing Colgate. So there you go. All these other games, I'll tell you what they are. Iowa State laying 31.5 to Northern Iowa. South Carolina laying 31.5 to Eastern Illinois with a graduate assistant quarterback. Oklahoma State laying 40.5 to Missouri State. SMU laying 31.5 to Abilene Christian. Toledo laying 39.5 to Norfolk State. Virginia laying 28.5 to William and Mary. Washington laying 22.5 to Montana. Kind of like that one. I really do. I think Washington's going to be decent this year. I think 22.5 is not a problem. Vandy laying 20 to East Tennessee State. I could see that being a problem for them. I think East Tennessee State will cover the 20. I really do. TCU laying 41.5 to the Duquesne Dukes. I mean, I can see Duquesne covering 41.5. Where everyone thinks that TCU is going to beat the crap out of them, and TCU is decent. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and jump up and down about TCU. I'm not scared of them. No, I'm sure everybody else thinks they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I know they're getting a huge, they're ranked 21st in terms of our boy Kenny White has them 21st in the country, that they're going to just kill everybody. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how these teams do against these small FCS schools. And I got my eyes on all these games tomorrow. I got to finish these spreads and get them all up on PharrellOnTheBench.com for everybody. In terms of, I think Mafia, are most of them up except for the late ones that we don't have the spreads on, that now we have the spreads on and we have to put up? Is that what the deal is?
Yep, that's the deal. All the other picks are up and ready to go for people to jump on them before you get, you know, the movement on the early Saturday line. So everything is up from what we have already, and then we'll just get those late ones coming in there for you now.
Wow. It's crazy. There's games all day long. They start at noon, which I can't wait. Oklahoma and Tulane, they're playing the game in Norman, Oklahoma. Oklahoma's laying 31.5. I mean, how in God's name does, you know, it's the same thing. Like, although they're playing in Norman, they were supposed to play at Tulane, but they're playing in Norman. So it is a home game. And you'd think, you know, Sam Howell with North Carolina would have done better at Blacksburg tonight, but he threw three picks. So wouldn't you think Spencer Rattler is going to light up Tulane's ass, Mafia? If, you know, everybody thinks he's going to win the Heisman. And then everybody else said Sam Howell's the best quarterback in the country and maybe the top draft pick. But what I saw tonight made me want to puke watching him. So do you think Spencer Rattler is going to lay an egg against Tulane at home in Norman? I don't.
No, I don't. I think that's a different level of opponent. No offense to Tulane, but especially with all the things they have going on where they had to move this game and, you know, whatever things they might have going on with their families and things back home. Even if this was in Tulane and nothing of this, you know, Ida never happened. They're playing in Tulane. They're going to smoke the Green Wave. Now they're playing, you know, at home for Oklahoma. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be awful. I mean, I'm still not laying it. But if you had to put a gun to my head and saying, okay, you have to pick a side, you know, this is the one bet you're allowed to make, I'm going to jump on Oklahoma.
Penn State and Wisconsin in Madtown, and Wisconsin's laying 5.5. Wisconsin comes into the game, an alleged number 12 in the country. Penn State, an alleged number 19 in the country. By the way, Oklahoma's number 2. Do you think Wisconsin can beat Penn State at Madtown at Camp Randall? And do you think if they beat them, they can beat them by 6?
Yeah, I could see it being in Camp Randall. I could see it being a touchdown game. If it was in Happy Valley, then I'd probably lean towards Penn State covering or maybe even pulling out the win. But I think Wisconsin can win that one at home.
All right. Western Michigan's getting 16.5 at Ann Arbor against Jim Harbaugh. Can't sell tickets. Lowest number of season tickets since Harbaugh's been there this year. No one believes in them. They're laying 16.5 to Western Michigan. Does Michigan come out and for once look good and blow out a team they should? Or will Western Michigan cover?
I'm going to say Western Michigan covers and just continues the misery of, you know, the Michigan fandom here that think that this guy, you know, should have them 3 national titles already and he has not even beaten Ohio State. I think it's going to be one they come out flat and they win, but win by like 14.
Wow. Do you think Rutgers, after everything that happened this week with the flooding in New Brunswick and Piscataway, that they can beat Temple? I had it at 14. It's at 15 now.
I wasn't taking Rutgers to cover that big spread before all this happened. Now, you know, who knows what disruptions have been down there because they're more towards South Jersey. We had some of these tornadoes and things go through there. So before we were talking about on Wednesday, we were saying, can they cover that up for the Thursday game? I said, no, I don't believe in them. I definitely don't believe in them now after all the displacement we've had in the last couple of days.
I blew through there when I was coming from Philly. And I haven't been down that far on the turnpike to Rutgers in like ages because I don't go to Philly. I don't drive to anywhere. I'm not driving to Philly or D.C. to save my ass. But I did it this time so I could go to that Philly game last weekend. So I did drive through there the other day. It'll be interesting to see how they look after everything that happened this week. The game was supposed to be Thursday night. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Aaron Torres of Fox and the Aaron Torres podcast, what he thinks of Saturday, Sunday, and Monday in college football. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Torres, our buddy from Hollywood and Fox Sports, the Aaron Torres podcast is back on the bench. Aaron, all your buddies are in to see LSU and UCLA, and you can't go to the game with them because you got to do a show? Drag.
You know, Scotty, I hate to say, I don't want to call myself competition to what you guys are doing over there on your beautiful network, but you know, when the boss calls me in to do a radio show on a Saturday night, I mean, you know, it's Joe Torre calling to the bullpen asking for Mariano Rivera. I'm not going to say no, you know? So I work Saturday nights. It's what I've done for about 4 years now. I will be in for the end of the Clemson-Georgia game. And unfortunately, you know, the Bayou Bengals are, you know, prowling around my town right now. I was just out for dinner. The Tigers are prowling all around Pasadena right now. It's a great time. It's great to have, fans in the stands. And I'm excited for the game tomorrow night. I'm excited for the day tomorrow. But, no, I will not be attending the game, which is a shame.
So, you know, I guess of all things, if you had to do a show, in my opinion, the best time to do a weekend show would be Saturday night, when the entire day of college football has happened and then the primetime games are happening and it's all, you know, coming full circle when you're on the air. That's a really good, in my estimation, primetime slot to be in when that kind of action has happened and is happening. So it's not the worst thing in the world. I think you already know that, but I mean, it really is the best kick-ass time to do a show when there's that much action.
Yeah, really excited. We're actually calling the show Torres on the Bench. Any thoughts on that? Or?
Yeah, listen, whatever it takes to make you happy, I don't really, you know, I don't get involved in giving people advice on their happiness. I just want everybody to be happy. So whatever gets everybody happy, I'm all for it.
Well, I'll tell you, I spent hours practicing that in the mirror to see if I really liked it. And Torres on the Bench, really, it just rolled right off the tongue. But no, man, I'll tell you, I've been in this time slot for about 4 or 5 years now. And, you know, Scotty, there's nothing better. There's nothing better. I mean, you do it, you live it. There's nothing better than being on in a big moment and being the first person to be able to react to it. You know, I mean, myself and Arnie Spanier, we've been on for college football playoff games. We were on when Tom Brady threw that pick six against Tennessee and his career effectively was over in New England. And we're debating, is he going to be a Charger? Is he going to be a Patriot? Is he going to be this? Is he going to be that? You know, we were on, you know, I can't even remember everything. I think I was on when James Harden went like 3 for 23 against the Warriors without Chris Paul. You know, Saturday nights are a great time, and you know, I'm so lucky to be on. And like you said, tomorrow especially, you know, Clemson, Georgia kicking off at 7:30 Eastern. We know it'll end about 11 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be on air. That UCLA-LSU game will probably end, you know, 11:30 or so Eastern time, 11 Eastern time, 11:15, whatever. And then we got Pac-12 After Dark. That's the other thing, too. I don't think enough people, like, fully realize we didn't get Pac-12 football until November of last year. And it sounds crazy, but that's how it went down. And so, you know, we were on air, and if BYU wasn't playing in that late window, there was no football on. So, you know, what I would just say is, I love doing that show. I love being in that window. But at the same time, it's just so great to have normalcy back to football. I mean, you know, we all saw the crowd at Lane Stadium today in Blacksburg. We all saw the crowd yesterday in Minneapolis for the Minnesota-Ohio State game. So I'm just so glad that we are getting back to normal in all of sports. But, you know, college football, maybe more than any other, is defined by the home crowds and all that stuff. And so it's great to see things get back to normal.
So do you like UCLA's chances against LSU?
I think they're reasonable, Scotty. I mean, you and I are both, you know, we love kind of, you know, looking at the number and trying to figure out what it means. And I'll be honest, all summer I loved I loved UCLA. You know, I loved the fact that, with the COVID waiver, they returned like 20 or so starters. It might be 19, it might be 21, whatever. They returned a ton of guys off last year's team. And they really ended the year strong. They, you know, you look at the win-loss record, I don't think it blows anybody away, but they should have been in USC. It came down to really the final seconds against USC. They lost that game. They easily could have been in Oregon. Those were the two teams that played for the Pac-12 title. So I really, really, really liked them against LSU, a team that basically was almost, I don't want to say historically bad, but they were pretty close to historically bad on defense last year. Now, they fired Bo Pelini. They brought in this guy, Daron Jones, from Minnesota. You know, the number feels a little funky to me. It's so low. There's so much UCLA buzz. And what I have been unable to kind of wrap my head around this week is, is UCLA that improved, or did everybody just get to watch them in week zero? I mean, if they're playing Hawaii in week one and this LSU game is week two and nobody's watching the Hawaii game, are people that excited about UCLA or whatever? So, you know, this feels like a stay away to me. I think UCLA can win, but LSU, I think the key in that game, and everybody knows it, it's going to be those big boys along the defensive line for LSU. And can UCLA, which finished second in the Pac-12 in rushing last year, is that a team that's good enough to move the ball against an SEC defensive line?
Is it really, like, what's the weather in terms of the heat? Like, because, you know, I was out there surfing in San Clemente at the end of July, and it was basically 75 and 68. I'm seeing 94 degrees tomorrow for that game. Is that possible?
Oh, Pasadena is a different beast. Now, we're not dealing with the humidity that they deal with probably on a 365-day-a-year basis in Baton Rouge. But Pasadena, we're a little bit east of downtown Los Angeles, and it gets really hot. I actually live in Pasadena, and it's been pretty much since, I don't know, probably around July 4th, it's been in the 90s. So, yeah, it's gonna be a warm one tomorrow. But I'll tell you this, Scotty, I mean, by it'll be a 5:30 Pacific time kickoff, 8:30 Eastern time kickoff. I don't think the weather will be that much of a factor, and certainly not for a team like LSU. Like I said, I guarantee, Scotty, whatever they've been practicing in over the last, 6 weeks or so since camp started,
right,
it's not going to be worse than what the temperature is at kickoff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you see that Boise State team wilt last night in that heat in Orlando? Because they were up 21. And I got to tell you, I think the dehydration, the humidity, the heat overwhelmed them in the second half. They looked like they were sleepwalking against Central Florida. I won't deny Gabriel played well. But you're up 3 touchdowns on the road. I don't know how the hell you lose that game. It had to be the humidity because they just look shot.
It really was. It was crazy. A tale of two halves. I think certainly, going out, and I don't know how much warm up they got in, but sitting in the locker room for all that time. But no, it was wild because, that game started late. And then I'm kind of catching the end of the Ohio State game. I'm catching the end of the Tennessee game. And Boise's in a comfortable, has a comfortable lead. And then, it's halftime. I'm cleaning up around the house, doing whatever. And you look up, and all of a sudden Central Florida makes that run back. And so, it was a weird game from the beginning. Not from the perspective that Boise was up big, but just because of the weather delay and all that stuff. And then, like you said, Scott, I mean, there's nothing that I could take away other than that they were worn down because, like you said, the second half, they were just they being Boise in a bad way, were a completely different team. Bachmeyer late has that big interception. Bizarre, bizarre, bizarre game. That was one that was just fascinating. You have two first-year head coaches at their respective schools. Gus Malzahn, all the things that you kind of grew frustrated about with him at Auburn, kind of the same as Central Florida, right? Like, he opens, they win the game, but it's kind of weird, and they don't look good for big stretches. They find a way to win. They aren't convincing doing it. So, weird game, and I think, like you said, I think the weather probably did play a factor for Boise.
Yeah, I never had a problem with him at Auburn. I mean, at the end of the day, I thought he did the best with what he had against, the Iron Bowl in Alabama every year, having to deal with that. I thought he did a decent job at Auburn. I know those people are never satisfied because they drink so much G-damn whiskey, but I don't think he was that bad at Auburn, to be honest with you, all things being equal. We'll see how he does down there. I have to ask Mafia a question. Mafia, who do you think's better, the kid Bachmeyer from Boise State or your boy Brockmeyer?
Calling game, definitely Brockmeyer. And I don't know, it's the way the kid wilted yesterday. I'll go Brockmeyer for both cases, but on the field and calling the game.
I agree with you. All right, so when we come back, I want to get into the heavies with Aaron. The big games, obviously, tomorrow night is Georgia and Clemson. That's a game we got to talk about. And then I think the Texas Tech Houston game is going to be great. And then I want to get into San Jose State and USC, obviously Indiana and Iowa, Alabama and Miami, Fresno and Oregon. And then I might even throw in Stanford and K-State. There's tons of great games. Penn State, Wisconsin, Mafia and I talked about that one earlier. But we're talking to Aaron Torres now, his great podcast.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go find a clover patch, get down on all fours, and find one with four leaves. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get any ticks. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to Aaron Torres of Fox and the Aaron Torres podcast out in Lipstick City. All right, let's go through these games and see who you like.
Do it.
Let's start with the big one tomorrow night, Georgia and Clemson at Clemson in the Duke's Mayonnaise Classic. Do you like mayonnaise on your sandwiches, Aaron?
Depends on the sandwich, but I am a mayonnaise guy. All right, what about you, Scotty?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Good answer, good answer. So Clemson.
Who are you taking in Clemson?
So in this one, I'll be real. You know, I like Georgia all summer, but, you know, the deal is, Scotty, is, you know, our buddy Arnie Spanier, he always says, we're doing the show tonight, and essentially saying, you know, we have to react to the news in real time as we get it. And I bring it up because I like Georgia all summer, but they have just had a terrible camp. Their best tight end is out for this game with an injury. Their best cover corner is out for this game with an injury. Eric Gilbert, five-star transfer from LSU, left the team for personal reasons, and this was after their best wide receiver, George Pickens, got hurt in camp, or in spring ball, excuse me. So, you know, I know Georgia recruits at an elite level. You're down four marquee players going into this game. I really do like Clemson. I think the other thing with Clemson that people sleep on, everyone's so focused on Trevor Lawrence being gone, they returned 10 starters off pretty good defense, so I do like Clemson in the game against Georgia on Saturday night.
There you go. Texas Tech and Houston in the Texas kickoff game. My guess is they're playing it at Houston. I could be wrong, but who do you like in this game? They're playing it at NRG Stadium. That's in Houston.
Yeah. No, I mean, so I'll tell you, I actually like Houston. And you know, last I saw, I think Texas Tech was about a 1-point favorite. I think the wrong team's favorite. I really do. You know, Texas Tech, like, they brought in this guy, Matt Wells. He's supposed to be a defensive guru. He's supposed to replace Cliff Kingsbury, find a balance between the pass-happy offense and a little bit of defense, and he hasn't delivered. I mean, they still score a bunch of points, but they give up a bunch of points. And Houston was one of those teams. You know, Scotty, I mean, I'd be curious even to ask you about how your prep for the season really went, because it's so hard to gauge, you know, all the COVID stuff with teams that only played a couple games, had to start, stop. And Houston was one of those teams where, I'm not kidding, I think they had like four or five games either canceled or postponed or pushed back or altered. And it's like every week it was something with that program. And so to be on a stable ground, to be able to prepare the way that they do, I think they're going to be pretty good this year. I mean, despite all of the COVID problems, most of their losses were pretty explainable. They lost to Cincinnati last year. They lost at Memphis. They lost at Central Florida. So I actually think Houston, even though they were a slight underdog last I saw, I think the wrong team's favorite in this one.
They were actually a dog getting one, and now they're actually laying 1.5. So a lot of people pounced on it, and now they're favored by 1.5. But I don't know if that'll hold any water by tomorrow at kickoff. But I'm with you. I think they're going to be hard to handle in Houston. I think people, frankly, see Texas Tech, and they think, oh, wow, they'll probably win because they're more familiar with, you know, Texas Tech being good at football, if you want to say that. But I think Houston's been on the up for a while now, and they were dangerous, and I think they can handle their business in this game. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in there. Out in LA, San Jose State only getting 14 from USC. Can you believe the Spartans are getting that kind of respect? I remember a day when that would have been a 35-point spread.
Yeah, I don't know if it's – I think it's you know, San Jose State's coming off a great year, and Scotty, USC, Clay Helton, he's not the guy. You know, I'll tell you, listen, USC has the talent. We all know it comes down to coaching. It comes down to if Clay Helton's going to figure things out. I actually do like USC in this game. I mean, you know, I just don't go to the window and bet them because, again, you're betting on the inferior coach and Clay Helton. But, you know, San Jose State, they caught a lot of breaks last year. They finished 7-0 in a weird, truncated Mountain West season. They go to a bowl game. They get their brains beat in. And so it just kind of felt like a best-case scenario for San Jose State. They caught a lot of breaks. I do like USC. see. I don't love betting them only because, again, you're betting on a coach that you just that just isn't trustworthy. But USC is really, really, really talented with Keaton Slovis and all those guys. I expect them to win.
You know, I didn't mention this before, but Texas and Louisiana, how about that? Texas only laying 9. And a lot of people think Louisiana is going to be a tough team again this year. You think they can actually hang with Sarkisian's Longhorns? Because I would guess my feeling is Sarkisian is going to open it up like the playbook and say, I am here. I've arrived. Watch what we're going to do.
No, I think 100% that's what he wants to do. You know, a couple things. You know, Louisiana, listen, I'm not saying what you just alluded to, Scotty, can't happen, that Sark opens things up. The last time we saw Sark in a game, you know, he, to be blunt, completely outcoached the Ohio State defensive staff, basically called a perfect game when he had Mac Jones and all those guys at Alabama. But, you know, Louisiana is another one of those teams, because of the COVID waiver, everybody gets an extra year of eligibility. They bring back like 20 starters. They had the number 6 pass defense in all of college football last year. They held a bunch of teams under 200 yards passing. And I'm not kidding when I say this. This might be the best group of defensive backs that Texas faces, I don't know about all year, but we know that defense is optional in the Big 12. And so I look at this, and Louisiana, I do think, is the right kind of matchup to keep things competitive. You know, for people that do want to wager on this one, I hope you got your ticket in early, because I think it opened at about 14, 15, 16 during the summer. And as you alluded to, Scotty, it's down to about 8.5, 9. So I think Louisiana could keep it close. I would feel a lot better if I got it at 16 than if I got it at 9. But they're a legitimate team, and they finished last year 10-1, and they basically bring back everybody.
How about Indiana getting all this juice in the offseason after last year, the run they went on? They got Penix, their quarterback, back, and they're going to Iowa City to Kinnick Stadium. I don't think that's going to be a fun experience. Iowa's, you know, I think they're 17 and 18 ranked. I don't buy any early season rankings. It's a bunch of garbage. Do you think Indiana can go to Iowa City and win that football game outright, or because they're 4-point dogs?
Yeah, you know, last year, I'll just be blunt, man. Every, you know, and I know you're an IU guy. I had no feel for Iowa. They were, or Indiana, excuse me. They were just so much better than I gave them credit for. Easily take care of Michigan. They beat Penn State on opening day. You know, my only thing with them, Scotty, with Indiana is, and I know you know this, you're an IU guy, they, like, the turnover margin was so great last year in their favor. And I know that's like, you know, that sounds like a huge compliment, and it frankly is a huge compliment, but, you know, they were like plus 18 in turnovers in like 5 or 6 games that they played, because they only played, you know, a handful because of COVID. And I just don't know if that's replicable. So, you know, on the road, this was one that I just, you know, I'm going to pass on, because I couldn't get a feel for Indiana all last year. Michael Penix is coming off that knee injury, kind of like De'Aaron King, who I know we'll talk about in a minute. And to ask him to come back on the road in a big game at Iowa, that's not going to be easy. I'd stay away. Iowa was really good last year. Wouldn't surprise me if either team won this game. But, you know, Indiana, to ask a quarterback off a major knee injury to go against that defense won't be easy.
So you talked about De'Aaron King. How do you think Miami's going to do against Alabama in Atlanta in the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic?
It's tough. You know, I mean, Saban is basically unbeatable when he has more than 1 week to prepare. And it goes back to, again, you know, Alabama's another one. I mentioned this with Clemson a minute ago, but, you know, Alabama, everyone focuses on, you lose Mac Jones, you lose Devontae Smith, all that. You know, they had the number one scoring defense in the SEC last year. They bring back 8 starters. They bring back basically everybody of consequence except for Patrick Surtain, who was a first-round pick. And I just sit there and say, this is the best defense that De'Aaron King is going to face until potentially playing in the ACC championship game against Clemson. And so I think it's a tough ask off a knee injury. You know, I don't mean to make light of the work that he's done to get back on the field, but, you know, it's one thing to do it in practice. It's one thing to do it with, a beanie on your helmet where nobody gets to touch you in practice. It's another thing to do it against this Alabama defense. I know it sounds crazy because Alabama is about a 3-touchdown touchdown favorite, but I do like Alabama. I mean, they're just so good in these early season games, even with basically an entirely new offense. I don't think they slow down at all.
So everybody talks about the kid Rivers from Fresno State. And do you think he can do anything at Outson Stadium? Early morning game, basically.
Yeah.
11 a.m. in Eugene against the Ducks. I don't think it's going to go well for Fresno.
You don't, huh?
No.
Okay. you know, listen, I mean, obviously, look, they dominated my Huskies the other day. I get it. You know, UConn is probably the worst team in FBS football, if we even want to call them that. But yeah, I mean, I would also say, you know, Fresno was pretty good last year. They were 3-1 at one point. Then they basically shut down the season for a month and came back and played a couple late games. But they're an explosive enough offense. And I'll be real, Scotty, like Oregon, you look at the numbers down the stretch, they weren't very good last year. So, you know, I can see the scenario where it's close for Fresno State. As you said, it's 11 a.m. kickoff. Fresno has that game under their belt. It was nice that they got a preseason game in against UConn. But I think they can keep it competitive. I don't think they're beating Oregon. But like you said, an 11 a.m. kickoff in Oregon. Oregon's got Ohio State next week. The back door is going to be wide open. I do like Fresno to keep it competitive tomorrow.
All right. Well, listen, I think it's great that you're rocking as usual and that you're back on the bench talking college football with us. We always like talking football and college basketball with Aaron Torres. Make sure you say hi to my old buddy, Arnie Spanier. I've known Arnie for like 35 years. I mean, I've known Arnie forever. Yeah. I think it's great that you're doing shows with him. He's cool. Send my best, my regards for sure. Tell him all the love from me. I haven't talked to him in ages, but I wish him nothing but the best. And you, as always, we love having you on. We'll get you on throughout the college football season, brother. Great catching up. Have a great show tomorrow night.
No problem, man. Let me know next time you're in San Clemente catching the waves, man. I could have made it down. It's like a 20-30 minute drive for me, man.
I screwed up. I should have called you. You could have brought all the weed and everything and the women down. It would have had way more fun. I screwed that up. Next time I won't screw it up, and I'll even let you surf with me. There he is, Aaron Torres from the Aaron Torres Podcast and Fox Sports. My man. Thanks a lot, Aaron. Good talking to you. All right. When we come back, I'll get you caught up on the Giants and Dodgers and all the other baseball outcomes, everything that's going on, everything that's finished, any changes that have happened in baseball. Michigan State is still kicking Northwestern's ass. The last time I checked, it was 28-7. It's Ferrell on the bench.
My buddy is a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, just so you know, we'll be back Tuesday on the day after Labor Day, Tuesday at 4 o'clock Eastern on Coast to Coast, and Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on the bench. Obviously, you know where to find us, and we're also on Sirius XM. Don't forget to sign up for the Circa Millions 3 and Circa Survivor. They're the greatest football contests on earth. You're going to love them. Five picks against the spread every week in the Circa Millions 3, a point for correct, half point for a push. It's $1,000 a pop, $1 million top prize guaranteed. The Survivor, you can enter six times at $1,000 a pop, $6 million total guaranteed payout, $1 million undefeated. You got to pick 20 selections for the season. You can't pick the same team twice. Ties and canceled games are losers. Thanksgiving and Christmas are contest weeks in their own right. They're also having a bonus week, undefeated bonus prize. Week 18, you got to choose Kansas City or Tampa. If you chose them before, you lose there as well. Sign up in Nevada at Circa, Golden Gate D, Tuscany Suites, Pass at Water Street Casino on their mobile app or kiosk, and then you can use a proxy from anywhere the rest of the time. You're going to love it. the Circa Millions and Circa Survivor contests. It's something you got to be involved in. Giants up 1-0 on the Dodgers, bottom six. Royals 6-0 on the White Sox, middle of the fifth. Rangers, Angels 2-2, bottom six. 5-5 Mariners, Diamondbacks, bottom seven in Zona. Astros 3-2 on the Padres in San Diego, top six there. And the Braves lost to the Rockies 4-3. Cards beat the Brewers. Marlins beat the Phillies. Rays beat the Twins. Tigers beat the Reds. Reds keep choking. Jays beat the A's 11-10 in a wild game. Mets 1-10. I'll see you. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Good night, everybody.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.